All right, well, hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here today for the retreat. Always, I think, a great day to hear what's going on and catch up on things and talk about things we might want to do in the next year. So a little more informal than board meetings. Feel free to jump up, grab something to eat, refresh your coffee or beverage. And with that, I know Tom and team have a lot of great information in store for us. So want to make it as interactive as possible. So ask questions, have fun.
Thank you.
All right.
And mine is normally just a quick kind of look back at, you know, some of the accomplishments this past year, and then a quick look at where we're, you know, some of the bigger initiatives we have on the plate for next year, and staff will also dive deeper into some of these initiatives that we have planned. So I will start with, again, recapping. You know, we had a, we got a lot done this year, and again, this being one of our big accomplishments, where we now are completely self-sufficient for our law enforcement academy, and got some great reviews on the facility. Also, before I forget on that too, you'll see it in Alan's pictures, the tactical house is done, and the driving pad is almost done. Again, it's going to be the last piece of the renovation. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, of building 1 and 8, which will be the final phase to move all of emergency services from the ATC campus to the DeLand campus. And we'll have a true emergency services center, state of the art. It'll be, you know, the best in the world. So. 13 years in a row, one of the top colleges in the country in online baccalaureate programs. And we moved up this year to 21 from 28. So it was a nice step forward in the ranking there. And we're proud about that.
It's a phenomenal ranking when you think about that one.
Yeah.
That's just not Florida. That's the highest ranked state college in the U.S.
In the country, yeah.
And something we should talk more about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're out and about.
Yeah. When you see the company we're in too,
yeah.
When you look at the first 12 or 20, you know, you got University of Florida, Embry Riddle, University of Pennsylvania. I mean, they're just, you know, and then Daytona State. So last year was. When we met this time, we didn't know exactly where we were going to land, but we landed very well on the legislative front. We had, that was all of our requests got funded. We got partial funding for the law enforcement, which we're asking for $3 million next this year, and partial for the airframe power plant. But all the other initiatives were funded and are either implemented or being implemented. So. It was a great year. We used the Southern Group as our lobbyists, and Dr. Lockwood works with them, and I'm up there several times a year to, you know, talk, share our story and our initiatives, and they're always well received. As you can see, you know, the things we are doing fits the governor's vision, the legislator's vision, and what our community needs. So. It's usually well received. We're asking for real, you know, where the rubber hits the road initiatives to get our students trained so that the workforce is ready. This year, this is our ask. This year is not the best years overall up in Tallahassee, as you've been following, because a lot of they took a posture early on about special projects and things like that, that they didn't want to spend, you know, that they would take a hard line with that. And then coupled with some of the, you know, issues that you might have read about between the legislature and the governor, there's a lot of, you know, there's even some talk that he will veto the entire budget, which means we would, they'll go into special session. And so we will see. But out of the list, our top priority is we need to complete the airframe and power plant, and that is fully funded. So, you know, that, you know, should be okay.
At one point, we had, I think on one side, I can't remember if it was the house or the center, we had the college-wide building access control partially funded, but I think that has since dropped off. And for us, the second priority is the completion of the remodel on the Deland campus. So in talking to the Sydney Ridley from the Southern Group and David, it's possible that that may get, she may be able to help get that in during conference. So when that's when the horse trading and all that, all the smaller meetings start to take place. But it's so, she says, it's just very risky this. She goes, what I don't want to have happen is me ask for the $3 million and then they take it from the airframe and power plant. Say, okay, you can have three, we're taking it from there. So we really need that there. So I said, use your judgment. It's kind of what they get paid for. You know, that is our number one priority. We've got to get that one in so we can get that program moving.
Did you tell her that if she was able to sneak in the three, we would pay a part of it, maybe? Do I remember you telling her that? In other words, if in the last minute horse trading, if she could say, okay, you can give me two, they'll pitch in.
Well, on all of them, we did say we would have some local match to help the conversation. So I can't remember what we put in for that. I think we put in like 500,000 towards. So I think we really needed 3.5 or 3.3, but we said we would make up the 3 or 5, I can't remember. So she does have that in her back pocket that we could contribute some funds.
I don't know what the rest of the group thinks, but if it came down to squeaking that pot a little bit and getting it out, I mean, I'd be all for that.
Okay. I'll remind her about that and maybe to up it a little bit. You know, we can put in $1 million, they can give us two to get us what we need. If you all think that's okay.
You already put in a half, so they still need to give us 2.5. If we're already matching a half, it was 3.5.
It was 3.3, I think. Alan, remember that number? Was it 3.3, the remaining on that?
Yeah.
3.3. So the match, the local contribution that was 300. Yeah.
So if we went to $1 million, we could maybe go in with 2.3 or something.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Did you get a sense from her of like how she does feel about that $3 million? Like, does she feel good about it and being able to get it kind of through that details process?
It's funny because she's normally pretty like sure about like where we are with things, and she said this year is just so crazy.
It's so different.
Just different. She goes, so she's, you know, navigating it so that, you know, we don't want to jeopardize the airframe. So I think, you know, I'll get a better sense in the next, you know, week or so on that, but I can certainly let her know that we would be willing to put in, you know, a little bit more if that helps you with getting a legislator to say, okay, we'll give you 2.3.
Like you said, I trust your judgment. So my gut is she would try for the full three.
Right.
But if she knew in the back pocket, if you know somebody said, hey, we could pitch in some more or something.
But this, I want to make sure I understand the relationship with the health benefits issue. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, this is kind of all secondary to that issue.
Yeah.
If that doesn't get solved, right?
Yeah, different pot of money, but
right.
Still
what's
a
that?
Lot of money.
So Bob referenced it. Last year, we were put into statute to be part of the state healthcare system.
Okay.
We were not. The universities were. We were not. We were in a consortium. So we had lobbied. It was Senator Broxson was a big champion of it, and he got us in the statute. He got us $80 million for funding, because it cost about $80 million to get us into the plan. So the statute passed, mandating us going in, and then the governor vetoed the $80 million. So we, and all 28 had to write checks to cover 7 months of health insurance, which for us was over $5 million that we had to take out of our reserve to pay for health. So this year, behind the scenes, we were trying to get this, and Broxson and other you know, other legislators knew that this had to get fixed, and have been trying to get it to DMS, which is the organization that really runs the healthcare, mm-hmm. and not put it in our budget, because if they put it in our budget, then we could be subject to increases and things like that, and universities are not. You know, if health insurance goes up in the system, in for the state healthcare system, that's covered by the state through administrative funds. So we just wanted to be treated just like universities. And so that is not happening this year. But the Senate is, you know, they still want to help us, so they're talking about giving us a one-time, non-recurring pot of money in all of our budgets so that we write another check from individual colleges to cover us for this year and try to fix it next year. So it's like kicking the can down the road on that. But it's a different, that's a different pot than these projects. That's Fund 7 that comes out of it. It's, I say it's different, but PICO, the utility or the telephone tax, doesn't really exist a whole lot more, and that's where that was getting funded.
Yeah.
So that it ends up coming from the same part of it, from the same pot. Yeah, so that is a college system priority, is to try to get the healthcare system thing resolved, and we're working on it.
Yeah. I just, you know, that to me is like, that is a recurring, permanent obligation of the institution, and if that forced us, you know, if we lose funding on projects, I get it, that's that hurts us.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't get solved, it kills us.
Yeah.
Because no, I mean, all the years of no tuition increases, all of that's out the window.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
is the local delegation supporting this pretty vocally or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the legislators supported this, and from what I heard, the governor, it's not that the governor didn't want us to be in the system, he was just looking, he had a number in mind last year, and he just, it was a big number, and he hit it, he just vetoed it, and but I guess not really knowing the repercussions of it, because conversations afterward with him was, well, no, I don't have a problem with it being in it, but I just needed to get to this number and try to fix it next year. So, but for some reason, it's not getting fixed this year because of all the craziness. But there, if we were not to get money for it this year, we would have to write a check for about $11 million, which would take out almost all of our reserves, which then we would all, and I told the chancellor this last week, I said, Kathy, you understand if we don't get money, you know, I'm sure we're not alone, but you'll have 28 colleges not meet the statutory requirement to have a 5% reserve.
Yeah.
Because it'll wipe out our reserve.
How much did we pay when we were part of the consortium? Did we pay, or was, what were we paying before we got statutorily included?
What was our annual?
About $7 million.
$7 million. So we were paying about $7 million.
So it's less expensive.
It's less expensive. No, this plan is more expensive than what we were in before.
It's $5 million more than this?
Yeah.
It's a much more generous.
Okay. And it's a much more robust.
Okay.
It's
$5 million. That's the delta. The delta is the $5 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. About five. Yeah.
Or 11.
But it's much more, and the reason it's more expensive because employees pay less.
Yeah.
You know, like a family plan went from, and it varied by colleges. We supplemented for family plans. So a family plan was like $700 some a month, which you think about for our lowest paid employees, like impossible. Some colleges it was over $1,000 a month to be in the family plan. So, but the state program took us from $760 a month to $180 a month.
180?
Yeah. So family plan went down to $180 a month.
Which is unbelievably cheap, as you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But affordable for, much more affordable for, again, you know, it's a scale thing, right? If you're one of our employees making $38,000 a year and you need a family plan, then that's doable. you know, what happens with some of the lower paid employees, they're not on it, they don't take it, and then their kids come to your ER.
Yeah, we have the same, right, and then they're uninsured and then...
And cost you, right.
But we have the same problem with our lower paid employees too, we just can't afford it.
Right, we can't afford it and they end up, yeah, so... So yeah, so I mean, yeah, that's, it's certainly a big need for us, and if you know, we'll hope to get that resolved. But back to the remodel of DeLand, I think either way, we've already got the architects working on the drawings, and we'll value engineer the best we can. If we have to kick in a little bit of our local Fund 7 money to start it, we need to do it, because now I have the program split. I got law enforcement doing some things in DeLand and the rest of the program out in the ATC, and I've got to bring them over to get that continuity back. So, you know, we have a little bit of Fund 7 reserves that could help that project kick off. If you all think that's, you know, that'd be my recommendation, that we make it happen one way or the other.
Yeah. Which even more supports if giving her a little wiggle room to...
Yeah.
To throw some in if we can get some of it.
Yeah, I'll give her a call today and just I'm going to see where she is with it and let her know that if she has an opportunity to have conversations with any key people and that helps the conversation. Again, protecting the airframe power plant building money that we could, you know, perhaps match more. And if that helps, great.
Tom, question on this, more from a forward thinking mindset, and that is, given that House and Senate leadership is not changing for two more years, do we really think the mood's going to change next year?
You know, it's going to be interesting, because next year is an election year, right?
Yeah.
So it could be a little different. You know, it depends. You know, it's I mean, they got along really well for many years, and now they're not. So
yeah, that's been the head scratcher for me, is where did all this cantankerous mindset all of a sudden come from?
Well, to me, again, if you look at the state college system in whole, again, this is all priority and absolutely, you know, what we should be seeking. But when you think about what's the number one largest line item in our budget every year? Salaries and related, right?
Yeah.
The related is health insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, when you start to think about that, how do you maintain any state college if you compromise that? So you know, it's like that. That's like they're ignoring the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to pay attention to projects like this, and it's like, whoa, 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 fix that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I am optimistic that we will get, but I think what's going to happen, unfortunately, is I think, you know, we asked for $200 million in the program fund as a system. I don't think we're going to get that, but I've heard numbers now like maybe 100 or 150, but I think 80 of that number will be the non-recurring, which means if it's 100, we get 20 million to split amongst us, and that barely covers the increase in the electric bill, you know, for us, our size. So, you know, but, you know, we've had tight years before, and we figure things out. You know, during the Scott years, we didn't get any increases, and, you know, we just had to, you know, reshuffle a lot, so we're good at reshuffling. But I agree. I think it is top of mind as a group effort that we are really beating the drum on the health insurance, because it's that devastating to all of us. I'd probably go out to say there's some of the smaller schools that might not even have enough to cover what they are if we don't get something. So it's gonna hit if we don't get some funding to help with that. But I will keep you posted.
So, all righty. And then, as far as we know, we're hearing that, and that we don't see any funding at all for UCF's building. So that may be something that sits there for a year or two until leadership does change and put money behind that. And Ellie, so that UCF wants to build a building here on our campus.
Plus their risk management program.
Yeah, so they got some funding last year. And we had discussion here about location last retreat, and Alan's going to bring that back up too, where you'll see the, you know, we had like a number one option and maybe a backup, and there's been conversations about interest in the backup location, which I've communicated with UCF is, you know, the board's okay with that, but we need a parking garage. It's like a must have. It's going to displace a lot of parking plus the volume they bring into the building. That we, you know, if you look at our parking lot, you know, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 11 o'clock, that lot is completely full. So, enrollment's up 11%. We're looking at about 11. We're sitting at about another 11% for summer and fall about the same. And we're growing, so we got to be real sensitive on that parking side. Okay. Just a stat I typically share with you every year, and this is the grants department. We have 29 active grants, totaling about $17 million that they manage. They do a great job, and we have two in progress for additional funding of $2.1 million. We don't know, you know, it's going to be interesting with all the DOGE things on what happens with some of these grant programs, but so far we haven't really heard. Supported the start of a women's flag football team, and we have kicked it off, no pun intended, the kickoff, and they've been very competitive.
Absolutely.
They are going to compete in the regional semifinals next Saturday against Pasco Hernando, and then if they win that, they'll be in the regional finals. We have played Pasco Hernando twice, and we have beaten them twice. So there's a good chance we, in our first year, will be sitting in the regional championship game, and then there's a national after that. So great. Great group of young ladies, and they draw a nice crowd. You've been at the games, and they draw a really nice crowd. So looking forward to their continued success. There's us in Kansas winning the national championship there. You've got in that picture there. So yeah, that was a great, great experience, and not easy to do. Not easy to do. Really proud of that group of young ladies, and talking to the coaches, it's funny now. I mean, the talent that is knocking at our door now is, she's like, we're going to be loaded. She said, we're going to be loaded next year. So, wow. Yeah, and a lot of the starting, 8 of the 11 starters were freshmen.
Wow.
Yeah. Now we had one. We knew one was only going to be with us possibly for 1 year, and she is going to a Division I school, so she's leaving us. And then unexpected, we just lost our center midfielder, who was an All-American. I think she sold herself short a little bit, but she, FIT, she's going to FIT. She's a Division I player, but she's from Columbia, and they, you know. And the unfortunate part is our coach was not even aware that this recruiting was going on. To even be able to advise, you know, we want our kids to go to good schools. We're from here, and that's what we do. So, anyhow, but we just got a national player from Jamaica for the same position and just lost. So,
oh, she's coming.
She committed.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So
wonderful.
Destiny is coming to Daytona State. She's on the full Jamaican national team.
I guess her friend.
And Prenny, who's in this picture, will score the winning goal. She's on the full Jamaican national team, and they're good friends. So I think that helped.
Great. Nice.
But, well, let me tell you, she did turn down an offer from
LSU.
LSU to come here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty good, yeah. And I think for her, it's actually a good move because LSU is a good program, but if she's as good as we think she is, we'll place her, she'll go to UNC or Florida State, who contends for the national championship like every year. But you will see Prinny at one of those. FSU's already kind of wants dibs on her. And FSU's won, you know, how many national championships in the last 5 years? So they already want Prinny, and Destiny may go there or UNC Chapel Hill. Anyway, good stuff, getting us on the map. And that was, this is our women's national championships from last May, the 11th, and the one that I'm wearing the ring for, the only one I've ever gotten because I know this was a special team, is that all of these young ladies are from Florida. And they competed against people from South Korea, you name it, around the world, and took it home. They just won this last week, the Southeast District Championship. They beat Seminole and Eastern. So they're poised, hopefully, to do it again. So we shall see. And our Rocket League champions, national champions in Rocket League. The funny part is, like, my son used to play this by my daughter, and I'd be like, what is that? You know, who knew there's actual national championship? So this is our second national championship in as many years as we've had a esports team.
Two for two, right?
Different. I think the first year we won it in, because there's different events. Okay. We won it in Smash Brothers. Anyway, so good stuff there. And then general athletics has been, I think we really have done a good job of getting us our name out there. The men's basketball team, as many of you followed, won their third conference championship and made it all the way to the national quarterfinals this year. And then our men and women's cross country team won the division two region championship, and the women were runner ups. And the men finished sixth in the country, and the women 16th. Volleyball placed third, and our cybersecurity team finished third out of the state competition. Out of the 28, we finished third.
That's athletics.
It's not. But okay. We put it there. All of it's athletics, but they compete. It's an actual competition. And last year we won it, and we broke a world record in cracking some whatever they do for cybersecurity.
Like they hack something.
Yeah.
Wow! Like everyone is trying to hack the same thing.
Yeah, and they did it in the fastest time ever. Yeah, last
wow.
year.
They might work
it out. I like to brag about everything academics and everything. So that's really
don't get any ideas. Don't take them from that.
That this is born out of the academic program. We have a cybersecurity center. So this is an academic championship in a way.
How do they do? I think you told us before, but are the athletes ahead of? About the same in terms of like graduation rate, retention rate,
GPA. Their GPAs are higher, significantly higher than the average, and their retention graduation rates are significantly higher. Yeah. So looking forward to the upcoming year, we have the BS in Radiologic and Imaging Sciences. Our notice of intent submitted to the DOE. And we'll submit to SACS, and then at some point I will have to go in front of the State Board of Ed not defend it, but be there to propose it. And maybe Kelly can come with me as a hospital person. They like to have industry people there whenever possible. And so that will add to our growing menu of health science programs that we've been offering here. This will be our third baccalaureate in health sciences. We got nursing, cardiopulmonary, and now radiological imaging. On top of the associate degree thing that we are doing, we
With the funding we got last year, we are expanding nursing. The first expansion is going to happen at New Smyrna Beach. It'll happen this August, and we'll add 30 seats. And then in January, we will add another 30 seats in Deland.
So what's the total size?
So this, when this is, this will bring us up to like 900? Almost 900, yeah, nurses.
Wow.
Yeah, we will be one of the largest in the state.
And what starts the discussion about doing like the BS in radiologic and imaging science program? Like, how do you get there?
So we have advisory committees, and so we're talking to the hospitals and other healthcare providers.
To see what the needs are.
And they'll say, we really could use this.
Okay.
We could use this. So we begin to do, then we, you know, we do our own market study to make sure that there is jobs available and what the pay is, so that there's demand.
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The diagnostic sonography that we opened up last year has been just amazing. We filled the first year, we only opened with 20 seats. We had like 80 applications. This year, we had 123 applications for it. And we were able to get some additional clinicals from Halifax and Advent, so we're gonna bring 24 in to this class. That's the max you can have with the accreditation faculty student ratio on that. So that's going well. And then you're also gonna see, maybe so next slide, we're expanding radiology, the AS degree, because there's a big demand there on this campus. But we're also, we're going to be bringing paramedics and EMS to Flagler Palm Coast campus and talking to the fire chief and folks up there. They have a pretty big demand for their firefighters to get the paramedic certificate, and then they can roll into the AS degree in EMS. And then we have plans to work with Flagler Technical College has an EMT program, and we'll work on articulating with them. But Jody will cover more of that. There's the airframe power plant. I had a conversation with Cyrus Cullen from the airport the other day, and we're setting up a meeting to look at a couple different sites. We really got to lock them down. He came up with a better lease amount. I think a little bit more reasonable. I don't know how much more we can squeeze, but we'll try to squeeze, but it came out to like $17,000 per acre. I don't know, we may need like 3 acres to do it. More than three?
No, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, we don't know, we're working on the actual, what size we will need, but it's much better than what they were quoting us originally on that. I said to Sarge, I said, we really want it there, but the lease has got to be reasonable. And I said, because I have a backup spot, I can put it for free with the ATC. And he said, oh, let me work on it. And he came back with that. So, and then we could see, I think once we get a little better handle on it, whether kind of funding will help out with the lease and whatnot. And this is working with Embry Riddle too, and just a few. How much Riddle will use that facility, maybe some of that will be shared expense and whatnot, but working on that. So we have a meeting to go see the site on 519. And the other programs we're working in the aerospace world is a new AS degree in aerospace technology and avionics systems certificate. And I did talk to Dr. Butler about these programs, and he fully supports us doing these programs. And these will feed into Embry-Riddle at some point.
Yeah, on the airframe and power plant, and, I don't know if it's you or the foundation or whoever, but there's companies that I'm guessing would want you to use their equipment and put their name, like the X classroom or the Y lab, and they've got one.
Yeah.
So I start those conversations early.
Okay.
And we can give you the list of here's the who's who of who you hit up.
Yeah, and then there's, Lucino?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he can help us with equipment. because he's got some background in that aerospace arena there. So, but yeah, we'll get the companies.
I mean, we just grabbed the five largest hiring entities in the state of Florida, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're dying for people to work.
Alrighty, so yeah, so we're excited about the airframe and power planner. We think that's going to be, that one, again, to recap, we would offer a, we're working with Embry-Riddle on a 1-2-1 program, which we think will keep intact the enrollment they already have. And that's where students will come in, pay Daytona State tuition for their first year. Then they would go into, They'll pay, the first year is Embry-Riddle. They'll take, the first year will be Embry-Riddle. Year two and three is Daytona State, at Daytona State rates, and they get an AS degree embedded in the airframe and power plant, and then they finish their fourth year at Riddle. So they're going to get an Embry-Riddle degree and a Daytona State degree, but they'll get an Embry-Riddle degree for less than half the cost.
And you'll have just a straight two-year program.
And right,
where so somebody just shows up.
Yeah, because Riddle's got the, already has the national draw.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep, that's why the 1-2-1 will be there for that national draw. And then we're going to come in with either the one-year certificate or the two-year degree, like a 1-1. And we've got the connections with the school system. So the hope is that we give our local kids, because the majority of the Riddle kids that are there now are majority from out of the area. And we'll infiltrate our local area and get local students in here, which for then, it all ties together to economic development. So when we're looking for to bring airframe power plant companies in, that what do you call them? IMOs?
MROs.
MROs, maintenance, repair.
Maintenance, repair.
Operations. Companies. That's going to add to the attract
overall. Maintenance, repair, and
overall. Yeah. So there's RMO companies that would look to relocate here, but right now we don't have a robust talent pool. This will help in that conversation for sure. And then I met with an aerospace company out of Canada not too long ago. And when I mentioned we were doing this, they lit up and said that they'll be back to look at this. They want to relocate their manufacturing plant. They do some defense work. So anyway, this is going to be, I think, really great for the community everywhere. I mean, from the students, to give them, and they'll start at, what, $60,000, $70,000 a year?
Easily.
Yeah. So, be a great program. The private school at New Smyrna Beach, Edgewater. So we just got, believe it or not, the signed lease back from them. They are beginning to get their wheels in motion. They are looking to this August rent at least an office, maybe an office and a classroom, to start a small little cohort. The principal will be there, and then they're going to start the construction work shortly afterwards as they get that in place. They asked if we could be the permitting entity, and we're looking into that still. There may be some advantages for us to be the permitting organization, because we, in the lease, right, is what I mean here?
Permitting on the construction side?
Construction. Okay. Yeah, okay. Permitting on the construction side. Did Rodney come back?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to triple check that, because the lease ends at 50 years and we would own the buildings. So there might be some benefit to making sure our eyes are on the quality of the construction of the building. So, because we'd have to approve everything. So we're working on that. But that's going to be, again, the 10,000 foot view of this is that they will have a 6-12. They will be like a technical high school, and this would give us, I think, the enrollment embedded right in our backyard, because those two red buildings on the top are our buildings, and students can walk right over there and dual enroll. And we may
look to build a welding and maybe an HVAC building, so that those students will go there and get right into welding and HVAC and maybe even the aerospace things. We may even think about moving it down there, because we see this strategically as Volusia County's anchor to the Space Coast. So as countywide, their companies may want to come, but maybe they want to be a little closer to the Space Coast, and we can have a program that is producing talent right there in New Smyrna Beach, Edgewater. So that's the strategy by bringing avionics and the other aviation program possibly down there. And then just some facility projects I want to highlight. We have a lot going on, but the Lemon Fitness Center renovation project, we've added women's soccer, men's soccer, cross country, flag, the fitness center is getting a little busy, a little tight, especially when I go work out there on it. And I've got to share equipment with all these young kids now. I have to wait. But we had some dead space and an opportunity to move offices upstairs, the locker rooms upstairs from the original, and the floors were buckling and they were never used, underutilized. So we're gonna, it's been on our list, and we engaged architects to go in there and reorganize the upstairs. So we'll have so men and women's soccer will have a locker room, a functional locker room, flag will have a locker room upstairs. And we can expand the fitness room where we currently have some offices, so that, and almost like a team room, so the team can go, if you're going to do a team organized workout, you can go there, and then the other patrons can not necessarily have athletes, because they do circuit stuff when they, all of a sudden you'd be in there working out, and all of a sudden, 20 young ladies or guys come in and they're doing circuit training, and they take up the whole place. And we do, that fitness center is a membership paying facility. So we have people pay to be there. So, it made sense. And it's just not laid out. It was probably served its purposes back in whenever it was built in the 90s, and it needs to be reframed. The Innovation Center, again, we talked a little bit about that. We'll see what happens there. The Quanta Honors Health Sciences Hall, that's that building there. It's behind the Lemron Center, right? It's right next to the residence hall. That's what's left of what the building used to look like. This is what we call a remodel.
And open air classroom rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be really nice. Alan has some renderings that you'll see. It's going to be a really nice building on the bottom floor is going to be the health sciences, all the continuing education we do, nurses, EMTs, radiographers, anyone that has to do continuing education comes to us now, but they go to the basement of our health sciences building. It's a basement, and occasionally we have water issues because it's Florida, and not many places have basements in Florida. So we're going to get them out of the basement onto that first floor. Second floor will be the honors program, and that's grown, and they need to grow, they're able to grow more. So we're capped in our enrollment right now. This will let them increase enrollment. So it's going to be a nice facility. And then our manatee that we all miss, we have designated a location, and we've got a bid out to recreate a fountain kind of by the student center in the back, where students can enjoy it as they walk back and forth from campus. So we're going to get that back up and running.
Is that a local artist? Like, went somebody from the school? Or was that...
What is the history on that?
Paul Ballard.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. He gifted that to us, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a gift. I think we purchased it.
Oh, we purchased it?
Okay. Yeah. He created it for us.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. That's great. Work.
It's a great, it was iconic, and we, Nellie, we removed that when we took down the library in the back. It used to sit right outside the library, but we preserved it, and it's just been a while ago. We're having a hard time. This should have been in progress right now. We're having a hard time finding. We had a company, and they couldn't we got a ridiculous bid once, and then we hired someone else to look at it. They couldn't do it, and I don't know why it's so difficult. It's a cement pond. But we're putting it back out, so.
Great.
Anyhow, so this is something we added last year as an opportunity to just, you know, any other open discussions before we call in the... yes?
Rodney's back if you need to ask him a question.
Oh, Rodney?
Yeah, he's not here.
It's like a wizard of Oz, he's behind the curtain.
Yeah. We were talking about the private school. Did you confirm that we will own the building?
Yes. Okay. All property reverts back to the college at the end of the term.
Which is 50 years?
50 years.
Okay, yeah. And then we're still deciding whether we will permit. I think we will. I think we probably will, knowing that information.
I talked to Alan, and it's possible we just need to talk to the private school just to make sure, because I don't think they'll be subject to SREF. And our property, the college property, would be subject to that in terms of, you know, compliance and things. So I think it's probably worth a call with their folks just to follow up.
Okay. All righty. That concludes my update.
Yeah, so we added this section last year at my request, just as a chance for the board to, and we'll circle back at the end too if something you hear in the day piques your interest, but I wanted to make sure that the board had an opportunity to talk about anything that was on our mind, whether that be, you know, an area that you think we should put more focus on, and, you know, an area you want more information on, a wild idea that you want to start people thinking about, or whatever it might be.
Not too wild.
I won't ask to move the cemeteries.
I'll kick it off with that.
I'm supportive of that.
I'll kick it off with one wild idea, and I want to get you guys thinking about it. Tom and I have talked about this, and a few others. But so as I think many of you are also involved in economic development, or you deal with other companies, or you're looking at what's happening in the state that we're in. And, you know, one idea that when I talk to business leaders that are thinking about coming here, the two things they ask about first, unilaterally, I don't care how many you ask, it's going to be healthcare and education. And it's just the two things that matter. Am I going to bring my family, my business, my employees? Those are the two things. My opinion, and I think a lot of them would agree with me, we have great healthcare. I mean, we have two huge hospitals. There's satellite emergency rooms. There's all, you know, there's, I think, the healthcare box you can check. And if you're a person that really loves brand name, I mean, if you have some, you know, specialized cancer, you can go to Mayo Clinic for treatment for the week. You can, you know, that's something you can relocate temporarily for if it affects you. You can't relocate for education. And if you look at our education system, you know, we have great public schools, nothing against that, but compared to, say, you know, big cities, New York, Orlando, Atlanta, places where you might be recruiting companies from, we don't have as many private schools, alternative type schools, really high caliber, you know, something that sets apart and somebody says, you know, boy, I would love my son or daughter to go to that school. So just a wild idea to contemplate. The university I came from in Indiana operated two schools. One was a lab school. Their teacher's college was their largest college, and the teachers in the academic program could train at this lab school, but it was a fully certified public school in the state of Indiana. You can look it up, incredible rankings. Every time the state ranked schools, it was ranked pretty high because they had the entire college behind it, you know, doing innovative things. And then we had an academy for the state's most talented juniors and seniors, a residential high school called the Indiana Academy. And it ranked nationally. If you looked at where the students went, it was like a who's who of colleges, Yale, Harvard, Columbia. So just we started bantering about a lot of, you see a lot of schools these days popping up that have a STEM, aviation, aerospace, you pick your poison, but let's say STEM, just for lack of a better word. So between Daytona State, who has a teacher's college, and Avery Middle, who has a lot of STEM and science, would we ever consider opening something in the school? I mean, that's a loaded question. Would it be our school? Would it be a charter school? I don't know what the statutes are in Florida about how that works. I know how they work in Indiana. But I think it's a neat idea, and I think it would resonate incredibly well as we attract people. I think it'd be great for Daytona State, your teacher's program. Imagine if you're an aspiring teacher and you thought that you could do your student teaching right maybe on campus in a school that maybe is ranked, you know, as one of the top schools in the state of Florida. It's always doing that kind of cutting edge, what's next in education. So it's an idea. I think we would get a lot of backing throughout the state, the community, if it really worked. I can share some examples of other schools like in different states where the models work really well. And you know, the downside, and it's really tricky, is who gets in the school, because they've become so popular. You know, is it a lottery system? Is it a charter school? But anyways, that's an idea that I think is worth thinking about, pursuing over.
I like it. I think it's a great idea, and probably the first stop is P.K. Young in Gainesville. The University of Florida has a long school. It's been through kind of a rocky road recently, you know, with its administration, but they established that. So there's precedent in Florida with that, and I think that would have tremendous benefit here as we look to high-paying opportunities, and we've heard that for years, you know, and attracting businesses and having people relocate from Virginia and from, you know, Georgia and around Atlanta. And it's like, where are the opportunities? And, you know, even Father Lopez will tell you their enrollment is way up. They've got a waiting list. And it's like, that's it.
Where else?
They really are hard pressed, you know, and so I think it's a very worthwhile.
Yeah. And imagine if you told the faculty here, design the best school you can make up.
Yeah.
State of the art lab, state of the art. Start from the ground up to say this is, no one's going to beat it.
So the comprehensive campus type setting, correct?
I mean, in theory, you could go K-12, but.
Yeah.
A lot to be figured out, but you could.
Yeah,
and you could start with maybe, you could start on the younger end, and go, or you could start on the older end and then go down as you get your feet wet.
Yeah, and I also think something that, Tom, we had a discussion a while back with David Adams from South State, that some of the places have even introduced faculty, you know, you got student housing, they also introduced faculty and employee housing on those campuses to help attract talent, particularly, you know, younger, you know, talent that would actually have a place to live right there on campus, and kind of encompass that within the campus itself. So I like the idea. I mean, think big and think about what we could do. I think, and also too, regionally between, you know, here at Clyburn, we still have some parcels of land that you can do something like this on and be comprehensive.
I mean, ideally, you want to build it near Daytona State.
Yes.
Have your,
yes.
So that the student teachers could just,
yeah,
you know, and the faculty
could. Yeah.
I talked about the University of Florida example and how great it is that, in fact, I may have asked the University of Florida that you should do a school here, because as a parent to a student who's about to enter kindergarten, I'm a product of Volusia County Schools, and it's great, but a lot of parents are going the private school route, especially now that there is the step up for students option. And there's just a lot of, you know, some parents are having a lot of issues with the public schools, and so I think there's a huge opportunity, because you're just seeing the demand is so high,
yeah,
for that good education and something STEM focused with the resources we have between Daytona State and Embry-Riddle. I mean, I think it would be such a big deal for our community, and I think that I have no question in my mind that we'd kill it. I mean, it would be great. Yeah. So it's a huge opportunity, and your biggest problem is going to be who you let in. That's going to be your biggest problem, because I fought to get my kid into what I think is a good school. Imagine if you have like an amazing opportunity with a STEM focus.
Yeah, and I think long term too, and this is one of the things that, again, being locals and growing up here and seeing it, it's a rare thing to grow up here and be able to return and have a career here. And so when we think about, and you know, I heard it, we've heard it all our lives, you know, we're talking about the brain drain, and your kids grow up here, they thrive, then they're out, they're gone, and they don't come back. And you know, the earlier we start to create that opportunity for parents and their kids, and you know, to create that, you know, let's keep them here, let's keep them in the area, our best and brightest, you know. So I like it. I think it fits into that whole model, and I like that.
But also, it's a great recruiting tool for this college.
Correct.
Absolutely.
I mean, they just ship right into Daytona State, and we don't have to worry about, even though we're getting, you know, we're up to 11%.
Right.
But you're getting homegrown right into, and then from here they can go to Amarillo.
And even on the recruiting for your faculty side, I think it's a win.
Absolutely.
Because then, again, if they have state-of-the-art labs and stuff that students.
Well, it sounds like everybody thinks it's at least worth pursuing. Maybe
if you get it done in 2 years, I've got a sixth grader.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I would ask,
and there's a lot of other people in the room, that I would ask everybody to keep that very quiet, because I don't want to create chaos that the public schools, you know, here that we're, it's, there's a lot to be figured out, but I wanted to see if the board here was something that, mm-hmm. I mean, Tom is receptive when I brought it up to him, it's a neat idea. And,
yeah, I mean, I think that the tide is turned, you know, in terms of public school and mm-hmm. options. You know, I think we are now in an option society. So I feel okay about, you know, doing that. And in Florida now, students, and that's what the private school in Smyrna Beach will be somewhat selective. You'll see. I think the demand will be there, but you know, unless it, I mean, and it could change, but right now a student can take that $9,000 or $10,000 that they FTE and take it to a private school. So you know, so that's the mobility now is even greater for, you know, like I think that private school is going to charge that rate. So there will be even no out-of-pocket money for families that want to bring their kid to that technical school in Smyrna Beach. The state will write a check for $9,900 on their behalf to that private school.
I think on a broader level too, if you look at what's happening in D.C. with, you know, the Department of Education and public education generally across the country, and there are some public education systems that are they're collapsing. They can't run things the same way and produce the results that they're producing, which are subpar. And you know, you in the whole shuffle, and if you're trying to predict and look out there on the landscape, you don't want to be the system or the school that gets left behind, or the area, the community. Mm-hmm. And I think right now there's a sea change going on in our education system, and you really have to figure out, look forward for 25, 50, you know, 100 years and say, what do we do to make sure that we're not one of the casualties to this evolution that's happening right now? So I think it's very forward thinking. It's like, let's get chopping on this, because it's gonna change dramatically. And so.
What was the name of the Florida one?
P.K. Young.
P.K. Young.
Is that you? That's at UF, right?
Yes. Yeah. So there's an example.
Okay, well, we will take that guidance and start to, you know, look at what we need to do and, you know, look at location and different things like that. I mean, we have been collecting property across the street. We're kind of landlocked right here. So we'll have to, you know, we'll start looking at some, the what needs to happen, location, and
I think if we discreetly talk to some of the larger businesses in town, I think we'd also find some
yes.
huge back in whatever yeah. we need in terms yeah. of
definitely.
Resources, support, political help.
Yeah.
Okay.
On another kind of initiative, we've talked about it, I'll bring it up again, it doesn't have to do with cemeteries, but...
Man, I gotta know about this.
Yeah. The RMI risk, the RMI program, and we've talked about it with UCF. I think there's a great opportunity for Daytona State College to be on the front end of that. And not necessarily it's kind of playing offense and defense. If the UCF program succeeds, it's going to be good for Daytona State College. If it doesn't have the success level, you know, we talked about the building and reverting that back and all that, but I think that there's an opportunity for associate degrees in risk management and insurance. These are high-paying jobs. We have a tremendous footprint of risk management and insurance operations in this in Volusia and Flagler counties, and that's just, you know, you're talking about Security First, you know Brown and Brown, Foundation Risk Partners. There's a great opportunity for growth. It's clean industry, and you know, could we become attractive to corporate relocation, things like that? You're talking about a lot of organically created RMI businesses in this area, but you know, where's the talent that's going to feed those operations in the next coming generations? And Daytona State College had the history of providing that talent, and I think it's right there, and I'm thinking that if you had the associate program, and they went into UCF program for a 4-year degree, that's going to fit a segment of that RMI student population, but there are other folks that all they want is their AA. That's all they need, and they get their licensure. We help them with their licensure through the program. I think it could be a blockbuster, and it's not capital intensive. You've got adjunct professors that you could, you know, you'd have them all over the place. They would be willing to support the program, and I just think it's a ripe opportunity, especially in this area. A lot of state colleges have affiliated. They've joined with the Florida Association of Insurance Agents. And they have a good collaboration on educational programs and licensure, continuing education. I think all of that could be, I mean, we should be the center of that mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we'll continue to have the dialogue with UCF on, and you know, the building itself, sounds like we're going to have at least the floor of that building. But like you said, even if it's not there, we have space on the existing building that's
right.
empty that we could. I guess we'd have to look at if that AS degree doesn't exist in the Florida system books, we can create it and submit it. So we'd have to, you know, go through that process. But that's some things we can certainly look at and see where we go. And, you know, either way, it would be smart to work with UCF if they're going to stand up that baccalaureate degree.
Right.
Yeah.
And if not, we could do the baccalaureate degree too.
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's the defensive part of it.
Frankly, we had they approached us about it, we would already have it up and running. But you know, they wanted the UCF degree on it. So, but we could have had that up and running already. But we can, you know, we'll have to look at what's in the system, and you know, we can go through our own like DACOM process, developing a curriculum, and create one.
Count me in. I'm gonna champion this one because I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
I think the key on that one is the marketing piece. Things may have changed, but I had prior institutions of 10 years old data information, but you go into a high school and you tell high school juniors and seniors, hey, you got a great program in risk management and insurance, they'll look at you like, and why would I pick that? If you say, we have a great degree in business or finance or a generic term they understand, then they're all
agreed.
So you have to figure out a way. Scholarships would be huge. So if the insurance industry was willing to offer some type of like a guaranteed internship or you know, if you come for your first year and then you're going to have a paid internship at the end of the summer.
Right.
I think that marketing piece will be, especially on the associate side. I think once you get them,
that's it.
And you show them some opportunities and they start interacting with some business leaders as adjuncts, as you point out, then I think it's easy to maybe migrate them.
Yeah, I think for it to be successful, you're going to need the insurance companies to step up and be part of the recruiting and process.
But we have a good base here.
We do. Yeah. And there's need. They need them. If they want to, you know, if they partner with us, I think we can, you know, get enrollment in there. It just takes time to explain. Like you said, they don't wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to be a risk management person. They don't even know what it is. So
an insurance agent. Yeah, it's not on top on their list.
Right.
But I'll tell you how Temple University does it. And yeah, well, that's what I graduated from high school, and this is where I wanted to be.
Right.
When I look at like Temple University, Florida State University has a fantastic risk management insurance program, University of Georgia. The way they do it is they integrate it into introductory business courses. So somebody says, I'm going to be in, you know, I'm going to be in business, in management, or, you know, they're going to be in accounting or finance and whatever their degree is.
Then you migrate them out.
Correct. But it's a mandatory introduction to risk management and insurance that they have to take. I mean, it's mandatory as a part of a curriculum.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of forced. You know, some will take, some won't. Some will take it and say, fine, whatever. Others will say, I never had any idea, and it's like, I love this. This is what I
think you need those. How many people do we know graduate with a business degree and have no idea what they're going to do?
Of course.
But then you take those classes. I took an accounting undergraduate course for a management degree. I did really well in the class. I really enjoyed it. And I got a letter that said, you should think about a master's in accounting. I had never in my life thought about it. I got a master's in accounting because of that letter.
Right.
Because I did well in the class. So you have people who do really well in the class. You actually pursue, you pursue those students.
Yeah.
And say, here, we've got this program for you. You can get this degree. Here's how much money you can make, by the way. Here's some good stats for you. Mm-hmm. And you get them interested because they have to take that intro class.
That's it. They've never been exposed to it. You're not going to be able to pitch like, "Hey, would you like the exciting life of being an insurance agent?"
Right. or an accountant.
Right. Or an actuary.
An actuary. You know.
Do you like that number?
Actuarial sciences. Woo! You know. But anyway, I think it's just expose and bring that. I think.
Yeah.
From a defensive side, again, whatever happens with UCF, you're not dependent on them. We operate separately, but defend our own turf in case that doesn't have the trajectory that they're hoping for. It's not just about acquiring the space, but it's acquiring the curriculum.
Yes. Yeah.
What's their timing on the program? Is it for after the building?
Amy maybe will answer that question. I mean, I think their strategy to date is that they would start it in Orlando and then eventually try to migrate maybe the upper division classes here. So, which tied with internships. So you go to Orlando because you, and I've been honest with them, you know, only because I want it to be successful, is if you're going to recruit an 18-year-old to come to the risk management program in Daytona, but it's UCF, if you're going to go to UCF, as a freshman, you know, they want that campus experience. They're not going to get that out of sitting in one building. It's just not going to be attractive. So, and UCF knows that, and I think that's why they think it may be more successful as they when they recruit. If you come to Orlando, you know, you become a knight and, you know, do all that fun stuff, and then, you know, they groom you into the risk management, and then maybe junior year, maybe just senior year, you come here and you're interning with some classes. So the timeline, I don't know, Amy. Did they tell you when they're thinking about even starting that part of it?
I'm sorry, it's either this fall or next that they would stand up the bachelor's.
Okay.
It may be this fall.
Okay.
That they will try.
So they'll start with their freshmen.
Even this fall, it would be 3 years till someone's on our campus. Right.
Yeah, and that could work. I think, you know, they're marketing the power of UCF in Orlando and this menu program and risk management. And guess what? We've got some. The insurance headquarters happen to be in Daytona Beach, and we have your fourth year is in Daytona with an internship. That's attractive. I think that would work. But it doesn't mean we can't. And they know, the risk management people know, that we're going to be a key player in even driving kids into the, and they might just do a plus maybe 2 years here so that our AS degree students or AA degree students can go into it.
It could work well with a lot of where if our core AS or AA business degree has at least an exposure to it.
Yeah.
But my, you know, again, this goes back to the Daytona State College model that I think is so effective. The idea that you need a bachelor's degree right. in order to be an insurance underwriter or insurance producer, agent, whatever it might be, whatever role, is a fiction. You need a license right. and you need a high school education, and that's it in the state of Florida and in most states.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is not necessarily the producer, you know, agent, underwriter role. At that professional level or whatever they want to call it, but it's, you know, it's the single mom that puts herself through school here with an associate degree and can have a six-figure income with an associate degree and a license. That's the person I want. And I want to keep them here. They're talented, they're rooted in the community.
And that's the other thing at hand is that our students stay here because they're from here.
Right.
Versus, you know, if they, you know, if UCF has this, you know, program that's like a UF or a, you know, a temple, you're going to get people from all over. If they graduate, they're going to have options.
Right.
And they may want to go to a New York.
That's
or,
it.
You know, or a Atlanta. And what have you accomplished for your local businesses?
And Bob, you haven't mentioned one important thing, too. You could even parlay this into a banking career as well.
Correct.
You know, so.
That's right.
Accounting, right. Banking.
Absolutely right.
Insurance. I mean.
But I do think it's an opportunity, and I think it's right in front of us. And, you know, I, having worked for 30 years in that area and seeing the people with high school degrees, you know, they're not going to own the business, but they did really, really well. They made a lot of money for themselves and their families, and they also got equity in these companies that it's like, forget about the 401k, it's they're taken care of.
Yeah.
From a, and they're going to stay here, they're going to raise their kids here, they're going to retire here, yep. Whatever. It's a career opportunity, but it's not necessarily that bachelor's program. I don't think,
yeah.
I think that's a, yeah. You know, it's the associate level.
No, it doesn't mean we can't have our own standalone AS where they're doing that. And, And we'll have AA students anyway in our programs if they want to choose to go to UCF into that program, they can.
You know,
it's a different student in a way.
Building, you know, whether you're a, you know, if you're a contractor or a builder, I don't know. But you're going to have people that all they deal with is the insurance.
Right.
All they deal with is the insurance. So there are opportunities, not necessarily in those primary businesses, but in all the contractors.
Even healthcare, we have our self-insurance program. I have two managers on my legal team.
Doctor's offices that need people that understand not how to render medical care, but how to process insurance claims and deal with all that. But I think it's so robust. It's such an opportunity, and we're not serving it right now.
Well, what would be interesting to know is how many employees are direct in the insurance industry within a, I don't know, 30, 50 mile radius, and then also how many employees are related, like the ones that you were just describing.
Right.
That are working at ICI Homes or Halifax, but they're in that field.
Absolutely right.
Might be a good workshop topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to tell us a little bit more about their plans. And
okay.
Good.
All right.
All right. Topics. Anybody else with the?
I just have one thing, Tom. You talked about the online, the online course ranking and all that, which is awesome. I recall a prior chair though would always ask you, "How are you going to get to number one?"
I remember that chair.
I've heard of her.
We're working on it.
But what are the key drivers that you see that
there's certain things that we there's metrics and you know the budget, the credentials of the faculty. There's a piece of peer opinion, and so I think it's subjective. And So that's where we, you know, may not get as many points as, you know, UF does when they and Riddle, because their name recognition is so broad that when they get a number associated, they get a higher number than we get. Trying to think.
The other challenge is they change their rankings. And typically they don't tell you they're changing the rankings until when they publish it. We dropped it in Riddle. Dropped like 12 spots or something, and it was a change in the methodology.
Yeah, they just changed the scoring. And for instance, at we've gone through this at UF with the they don't weight student debt.
That's
so they actually took it out, and you know, it was a big factor, you know, and it was, I think, an important factor. So when you look at Daytona State College and say, we haven't raised tuition, it's very reasonable, it's affordable for our students and everything, and they graduate with minimal to no debt. And you know, when schools look at that, I think that needs to be part of their core mission. And U.S. News and World Report, they don't care.
But students are online.
It's fascinating. I spent a lot of time on the rankings. They used to have two metrics in the online ranking. One was the percentage of your graduates that have debt. And the second metric was the average debt for students that have debt.
Right.
And so what happened is they decided to drop the percentage that had it. The only one that was down was the average debt for those that had it. So even colleges, there was a couple of elite Ivies that met 100% of the need. So you applied, you got in, your need was full tuition, you got full tuition. But students would still take out loans to buy a car or, you know, get an apartment. So they had a school that 2% of their graduates had debt. The other 98%, no debt. I mean, you can't be much better than that.
Yeah.
But the 2% that took out debt, maxed out the debt and said, I'm going to buy a new, you know,
they're doing that with student loans.
So they got hammered because the average debt, yes, for 2% of our students was really high. Yeah. So they did worse than a school where 100% of students had to have debt, but had $500.
That's so ridiculous.
I mean, it's just...
So that's the loan program, that's the whole issue that I was talking to you a little bit about. You know, like, at our school, we, at $102 credit hour, I scratched my head on,
Who's taken out that
taken
loan?
The amount of loans that are taken out.
Can't control what they take it out for.
You can't control it.
Yeah.
But they're buying, you know.
And it has no restriction on what
new rents for their cars. And
oh, wow.
The long line gambling.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
yeah, it's, you know.
All righty, you ready to move on to the next? Yes.
I was thinking about this, we were having a conversation about schools, and one thing I just don't feel like I have a good sense of, and maybe everybody does, but I was just wondering if I can get more information on, like, what are our, what is our real estate portfolio, and like, what is our real estate strategy, mm-hmm. and how often does that get talked about mm-hmm. when you're thinking about opportunities for expanding campuses, new campuses, and what, and I know you were talking about, like, some of those purchases mm-hmm. of homes and all that. I was just curious, like, if
so,
there's a way to get a better sense for that.
Yeah, and we can, you know, we can do that. That could be part of a workshop too. Every 5 years, we have to do a comprehensive master plan.
Okay.
So that normally entails board input. I'm not sure how many years out we are from that. I feel like we just did two more years.
Two for the master plan, one for the site. So we're doing that. That's doing next year.
So it's coming up.
Okay.
We'll have to go through that
awesome.
Plan, and but we can, you know, we can just give you an overview of what we, the properties we do own.
That'll be
you
great.
Know, just so you know, kind of know where we are with that, and then within the master plan, within the property master plan was a master plan for each campus, like where we plan to put the next building.
I see.
And you know, and right. what buildings come down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we did a lot of that here in Daytona, and we executed a lot of that plan with, you know some people feel like, Tom, you built a lot of buildings here. I said, yeah, but I've taken down more.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, we've taken, you know, we really reshaped this campus. And then there's plans for, you know, acquiring the White Street property that, you know, because we are landlocked.
Right.
And something like a private school could be that could be a great location.
Could
put a school right across the street.
Right. And then, there's a continued strategy for more purchases?
We haven't been very proactive. We've kind of, when properties come up, we purchase.
But there are people who are looking for that, for properties that come up
in
their campuses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we kind of identify, if I remember right,
a zone.
So
anything that comes up within that zone.
That came up in that zone will be at least talked about.
Yeah.
Got it.
And we've gotten most of them. Sometimes someone will ask some silly price for it, and
sure.
it's just so far to go. And, but we have some nice little chunks that we've established.
It's a great conversation. I mean, you said a minute ago, we're growing.
Yeah.
We have ideas of other new programs.
Yeah.
It is something we should keep our eye on.
Yeah.
Keep our eye on.
For sure. All right. We're ready to move on to the next presentation. Dr. Jody Long for Academic Affairs.
That was, Lynn said it's a little too close to all his stuff. She was like, just grab it when you go up there. So. Anyway, I'm really excited to hear all the wonderful conversation about opportunities that Daytona State has and some ideas that you all have had. And I'm especially excited to share with you where we are now from Academic Affairs as well. And so we have a couple of updates for you. I wanted to first start with some programs that you would have heard about last year. And we mentioned already this morning our BS in Cardiopulmonary Science. We did open that a couple of 2 years ago, and we've had some graduates from there already. We actually have 85 students in this program, and that number might sound kind of little, but for reference, Valencia has had the same program for 10 years, and they have on average about 150 students at any given time. We are on a trajectory to catch them, and I hope surpass them as well. We recently received our accreditation award from from COARC, which is the Commission on Accreditation for Respiratory Therapy. This program is now being opened up to cardiovascular technologists and to paramedics as well for coming into this program. So this completion degree helps for their careers in terms of their employment. So we're really excited about being able to open that up a little bit more. Diagnostic medical sonography, we already mentioned a little bit about that this morning as well. So again, we're moving into our second year, and we've had 125 applicants, and we've filled 24 seats. We're very excited about that as well.
So, and then the other one that we had a visit for our Bachelor's of Science in Engineering Technology for the concentration in industrial engineering, we had our site visit last fall from ABET, and we are expecting to hear very positive outcome of that coming up in the next few months over the summer, so we'll update you as soon as we have more on that. But I thought it would be nice to see where we've been and how far we've come just in the last couple of years. So.
That's a quick question on sonography. Of course. When you have 125 applicants mm-hmm. and only 24 seats, mm-hmm. I suspect you don't want all 125 applicants, but do we want more seats?
Well, so yes.
Okay.
One of the things that the joint councils, their joint review council, they're very clear on for radiography as well as for DMS and the other disciplines that they oversee, CBT and so forth, they want to make sure that there's adequate clinical sites. Okay. And so one of the things that we are working on right now specifically for this program is to increase our number of clinical sites. Okay. The specialties, we typically have plenty of those areas that we're able to get into. It's a matter of being able to get into some of the general sonography areas. So yeah, so it's a great question. So, and I understand why you would ask. So yeah.
We know that Kaiser has this mm-hmm. program.
Yes. Okay.
So there's some, well,
we've been, but, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, but so it's a clinical issue in terms of whether we can expand or not.
I just thought like that's 5x that we could fill. So
yes.
Are those 100 applicants that don't get seats, are they coming to us for another reason?
We do get some cross applications with radiography.
Or do they just say, well, I'm not going to school now?
No. So what I have found is that the students that do not get into sonography proper, they oftentimes have dual applied for radiography because they just want to be in the imaging sciences.
Okay.
One of the other areas we're looking at is possibly thinking about, I don't know if Colin's mentioned this yet or not, but looking at cardiovascular technology as well. Because a lot of this is the need that's out in the industry is really for vascular technologists, for vascular sonographers. And so everybody goes into thinking they're going to be scanning babies, and that's really, it's a small portion of what you do with that particular discipline. So yeah, excellent question. So we typically help them with what we consider to be those found majors of like, well, I know you wanted to do this, but this is kind of like that. And so we get with the student on what were you really after? Let's see if we can help you. So, yeah.
If that applicant applies here and mm-hmm. applies to a program at St. Pete, and mm-hmm. they get into St. Pete, and they'll go there. If mm-hmm. a lot of them will travel because they really want this program. And so if they don't get in here, we may lose them to another school if they're admitted, you know, but these are all competitive, so you know it's GPA and clinical experience and the hot interviews and things like that. Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes what we find is that students that apply to these programs, they really want to be here in our program. And then to Dr. Labasa's point, if they don't get in here, then they'll take their second choice, which would be someplace else, obviously. So we wind up getting really the highest quality applicants that wind up in our program. So, which is part of what leads to our wonderful success rates, not to mention our great faculty. So, okay, other questions on programs we've started recently now? Okay, great. So we will just move right on. So we've got a couple new programs that are opening. Dr. Labasa mentioned earlier about our Bachelor's of Science in Radiologic and Imaging Sciences. This is really a completion program. Within the industry, our AS prepared radiography techs, as they go out into the world, they are fantastic at their jobs, but we know that for them to be managers of an area, they sometimes need that baccalaureate degree. So for advancement for themselves, the other thing this does is it allows them to pick up some advanced imaging modality techniques as well. So they are wonderful employees to have in all of the freestanding EDs that you see popping up on basically every corner across from every Walgreens and CVS. So we are able to meet that need locally and as well as statewide with this program. And again, the notice of intent was filed with the Department of Education earlier this month, actually. And so over the summer, we'll be able to complete the full application. And then, as Dr. Labasa mentioned, we will make our full pitch to the State Board of Education later on in the fall. So we're very excited about this. We do feel like it's going to be well received, and we do expect that we'll be able to open in spring of 26. So we're very excited. We've got students that have graduated from our AS program lining up to be part of this, the inaugural cohort, so we're delighted about that.
Is it both modalities, or just online, or just in person?
So that's a great question. The we do have a fully online portion that is all for leadership, so if that is, they don't want to have the advanced modalities, they simply want to be a radiographer that wants to be a leader in their area, they can do that. Otherwise, they do have an opportunity to do some clinical and some clinical work with computed tomography to pick up additional credentials, and that's over the course of one semester during part of the program. And they would do that at their
site. Right?
That's correct. Yeah, they don't even have to go anywhere else. So
yeah, what's great about this, this gives you an employee now that can work on additional machines that they currently can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, they wind up being that one-stop imaging professional at the freestanding EDs. So yeah, excellent opportunity for our community and for our students. So and then the other one that we have that I think is really exciting because we just have to make a few little tweaks and then we can get this one off the ground. So with aerospace technology, there are just a handful of classes different from our regular engineering technology AS program, and we have faculty in place with the expertise and the credentials to manage the three extra classes. So students can now choose tracks, and so they can actually go into the aerospace technology program as opposed to the one that was engineering technology. We do think this will increase the enrollment even more in engineering technology because it is a buzzword and everybody's like, I'm gonna be in aerospace. And it's not as scary. For some reason, people think, you hear engineering, they're like, that's hard and that's math and I don't wanna do it. They don't think about that same mindset when they look at the word aerospace. They're like, cool, we're gonna go to space. And so they think we're gonna be setting rockets and they move on from there. So we capture their interest and then we capitalize on that. So we're very excited about this opportunity coming forward. And then as you know, we do have our aviation maintenance management program. Dr. Lobasso mentioned that earlier. We are excited about the opportunity not only to serve native students to Daytona State, but also the partnership with Embry-Riddle to have that 1+2+1, which is a really unique articulation agreement and opportunity for students to participate in that. And again, we'll be looking at building a new facility. We have contracted with, we were very, very fortunate to grab one of the recent retirees from Embry-Riddle to help us with writing the curriculum as well as helping with some of the consultation on the building and the equipment needs. And so we're finalizing the equipment list so that we know exactly how we need to be, have the building designed and how it will be used. And our consultant that we have hired is working directly with Alan and with the architect on that based on the curriculum. So it'll be state of the art and exactly what the current industry standards are for that. So that's very exciting as well. And then in that same program, we anticipate hiring a faculty member this coming sometime during the fall so they'll be ready to help open the program as we get closer to time for the FAA to come and do their full inspection of our program. So we're very excited about that. We also have another program that's going to take us a little bit longer than the aerospace to get started, but not too much longer. We should still be able to get this going by spring of 26 as well, but it is an avionics system technician. This is a career certificate, so it's an entry-level certificate. We can even open this up very easily to high school dual enrollment students as well. This is actually looking at the IT and the electrical systems for both aircraft and spacecraft, and the things that are related to the radar systems that are on the ground. And so this is another high demand need. We have some opportunity potentially with some Space Coast partners for some short-term programming that we may be able to leverage into this program as well. So we're very excited about the opportunity to start this. Again, we've got faculty in place that have the expertise to be able to work on the curriculum and to start this program pretty quickly. So we just need to get all of our ducks in a row with SAC COC and we're ready to roll. All right, and then of course, we're just growing everywhere. we're trying to keep pace with what's happening in Volusia County, certainly. And so based on industry demand and community need, like all of these other programs that we're introducing, the growth is the same. We're actively expanding a number of our existing offerings. So for welding, we currently have, just to give you some numbers, we currently have 20, two cohorts of 20, both day and night at the Deltona campus. We also have 36 students in both day and night cohorts at this Daytona Beach campus, and we are looking for the expansion of the ATC coming forward soon. Hopefully, we'll be able to have 40 students in both day and night cohorts. We'll be able to increase the number of welders again, this serves a number of industries that we have right here in Volusia County as well as along the Space Coast, so that's very exciting. Alan will have more on some of these updates for the ATC when he gives his presentation. So, in healthcare, we know that our area is growing. The average age of the person leaving the state of Florida is about 28. The average age of the person coming into Florida is about 38. So overall, we are continuing to age as an entire population within the state. Healthcare is a huge component of why people want to come to Florida, not just our weather. And so we're able to continue to grow, responding to these needs as well. So perennial need for nurses, as you heard earlier, we're adding 30 seats this fall and 30 seats in the spring at our new Smyrna Beach, Edgewater, as well as the Deland campuses respectively. Over the course of 2 years, that means another 120 students will be able to graduate from this program. So that includes, that then takes us up to close to 900 students total for our nursing program, making us one of the largest in the state, which is very exciting. So, and we turn out excellent nurses. We have almost 100% pass rate almost every single semester. So they are doing a great job over there. So we're excited to give that opportunity to others. Let's see, what else do we have? That will be, okay, then the radiographers. So again, not only are we looking at adding that baccalaureate program, but we also have an expansion plan for our AS program. Like nurses, radiographers continue to be in high demand, predominantly in the generalist area because the specialties are snapping them up out of the generalist pretty quickly after graduation. So we're really excited about being able to increase that. We should be able to add some seats. We're having a conversation with the JRC right now about a number of clinical sites. So we should be able to add seats starting in spring for that program for a whole other cohort, which is exciting.
How many in that list? 24?
24 regularly, yeah. We're going to start with 16 for the additional cohort in spring, and then we will get that up to 24 within a year. So, and again, it has to do with the clinical sites and what the JRC says is okay for our numbers for that program. Yeah, we need clinical sites. I keep planting that seed, so. I look right at Kelly every time I say it to him. We need clinical sites, please. Let's see, what else? Okay, and then first responder, we're also increasing our presence in Flagler Palm Coast. As we move our emergency services to the Deland campus, it removes, it kind of moves them geographically away from the Flagler Palm Coast area. And so in response to the needs in Flagler County, we are starting actually this summer the paramedic portion of our full EMS program at the Flagler Palm Coast campus. And it is like little cost to the institution. It's really easy to pick them up and have them up there. So we're very excited to be able to serve that community for the firefighters and the EMTs that are ready to move on to the paramedic,
We appreciate program. That, right, Log?
Yes, right? That additional training is very necessary. And then we have also, we have had some requests for additional medical assistance, and we are responding to that by looking at an evening cohort. We believe that from student interest as well as from the local facilities that this will actually should be an easy way for us to serve what the community needs, but also to serve what our students need for an evening program. So we're going to throw that on the books this year as well. And then you already heard about the new the update to the building for the Quanta Honors and Health Sciences Hall. And so we are expanding that program, and that's we are currently sitting at 68 students, and by moving into the new space that is larger, we'll be able to expand over the course of a couple of semesters, 40 students. We're adding 10 students each to each cohort. So that's an excellent opportunity. Students in Quanta have the chance to articulate to Stetson and apply for a full scholarship. And so that is one of the, I think, benefits of the Quanta Honors Program. The other thing about the program is that students who enroll in that program typically do better and are more successful in terms of their outcomes in classes when they're compared to the general population. So there's something about, just like in the health sciences and the other career and technical education programs, having that cohort model seems to strengthen the outcomes for the students. So we're really delighted that we can offer this to more students moving forward. And then I know Alan's going to spend a lot of time talking about all of the different projects that we have going on, but I wanted to highlight one other thing about the Deland campus. With the relocation of emergency services to the DeLand campus, it has provided us with an opportunity to consolidate academic student services as well. Currently, our academic student support center and our writing center and our library are in different spaces. The writing center is sort of in the back of the library, and the ASC is in a completely different building. And so that is the building, building one, which was the first building on that campus. That is the one where we are relocating for the emergency services, and that relocation is allowing us to take the library and the writing center and consolidate it with the ASC, so students will be a one-stop shop for tutoring as well as writing center services and library services. So we're very excited. The faculty and the staff are eager to see this synergy that's going to happen as we have all of these departments and disciplines in the one space. So anybody have any questions? That was a lot fast, but I know we've been going for a while, so. All right, well then I think I'm passing it off to Alan, or?
Yep.
Okay.
So.
Wade?
No.
Okay.
So lunch is ready, but I'd like to see if we can get through Alan's presentation. So I forewarned him that he needs to go.
Okay. All right. Alan?
Every year.
No pressure.
No.
That's right.
No, from an hour to 30 minutes to five. Okay, we're going to start out talking about a few of the projects that we've been able to work on this year, and then we'll move into planning for the rest of the year, and I got to go fast. So, Dale Thomas, when we started, you've already seen this. A lot of you were there. This is the sonography machining room, science labs, nursing, sim labs, as well as classrooms, machining, advanced machining, CNC. Medical sonography, which Dr. Long talked about in the program, how that's progressing along. And then right behind that, we moved, this is where nursing was. Nursing moved over, obviously, and then we created the welding lab in building two, which is currently full as well. So that's open, it opened in August and continues to be successful. Since then, we've done some tweaking, added some machinery and office, so that program's growing already. DeLand. We obviously, a lot of you saw the build out of the entire area, so the firing range, the tactical pavilion, and then this is the driving pad and PT course. The PT course has been built into it, so you run around the outside. This is still ongoing. This is the view from I-4, so we have a few people that see this every day, a few million probably every year. And then we also got be able to capture this little billboard here to help us with some advertising and marketing. So that's the view from I-4 as you drive by. So we've actually cleaned this up and all the way out into the DLT area, so it's pretty nice from the runway. This is the driving pad office, so it's still under development, needs siding, and the end here is where the cars will be parked. For security for the driving police officers. They're there. The fire range obviously opened. A lot of you were there for that as well. See a couple of people in here. There's Gary and some others mingled in. This is a tactical range, so you didn't get to see this. You only saw the roof when you were there for this piece. This is actually a representation of a house that they go in and they do clearing. So this is what it looks like from overview. There's actually now pieces of furniture that are each in each of these rooms. And so, you know, things that people would hide behind or they'd have to work around. So this is also in use. All three areas have been certified by the FDLE and are ready to go. So they're using these since you were there the very next week. We started using all three facilities. So. Good move. New Smart Beach Edgewater projects. This is really an overview of some work that we did on the building. So this is building number two. Building two. We resurfaced the roofs, both the flat roofs and the metal, as well as building number one, the metal roof and the flat roofs. We still lack doing the atrium. That's part of the project they'll come back and do later. This was the project that was originally $1.7 million, and we got it done for about $700,000 by reconditioning versus replacing. So we saved $1 million in this one. Flag of the Palm Coast, this is the Gary Levine project. no, really, this is a great addition to that campus. This is the roadway that's being installed between primary campus and building one, the Alan Smolin Amphitheater. Nursing is housed in this campus, so this is the student area, classrooms and offices, and then the labs are on this side. And then this is obviously the amphitheater portion.
And all that will be done in the next week.
All of that will be done in the next week, Gary says.
Now that's an older picture.
It is, yeah. So this is the addition to the seating. And then you can see we're covering the backstage here, so you can tell how wide it is. This is the overview of the new wall, so it's much higher. You can also see the extension of the seating area here, as well as on each side now there are stairwells to get up to the upper deck. Used to, you had to walk through and then come back this way, so that's an addition as well. This is the backstage covering, and this is what the seating looks like now. So we also included new seating in the layout. This looks odd. I've had everybody ask me about this. Why is there a railing there? When this is not being used as a stage, it has to be safed off for somebody doesn't just fall off because it's a higher than the clearance is too high for a fall restriction. And that's primarily because these are classrooms, as we talked about, so there are people just walking through. So this comes off when it becomes a stage, and it's wide open. So just really a safety upgrade for the entire project. New food truck area. So this is currently being landscaped. I'll be done by next week. But, roadway in the campus, roadway out of campus. Projects, some of the projects that we're working on, Dr. Long went through some of them. I don't have them all on here, but all the expansions that she went through, we're going to be involved in those. This is New Smyrna Beach. We did some roof work. News Journal Center, sorry. Yep. This is the chiller plant projects that you guys approved last year. We added a chemical room, replaced cooling towers, piping, and added a new chiller capacity for this campus, as well as the land. Schildecker, we replaced the roof, field house roof, press box, dugout roofs. Softball, we went from shingles to metal, so everything matches over there now. This is a pool equipment room. We did a full replacement of sand filters, boilers, electrical equipment. We did the deck, so this is going to be used by currently the fire department and then the local folks that come in every day for swimming and activities. This is the 150, so this is a cooperative project with UCF. They spent $9 million on building 150 and 140. This is a roof in 150 that was replaced during that project that we inspected and helped oversee, as well as replacing all of the windows throughout the building and then the facade, the metal facade for 150. Same for 140. They replaced all the windows, updated the sign, the landscaping, and this is the Weatherall building. So you probably saw some of that work that was going on during meetings. The upper roof was replaced, as well as the balcony roofs. During spring break, you may have noticed, or you may not have noticed, this waterfall that used to be here is gone now. So this entire canopy and atrium area was painted, wallpaper was removed, and since we repaired the atrium, we were able to fix all the drywall that was wet in this area as well. When you drive by, the front of the building is kind of a hot mess, so just kind of ignore that. We're doing a concrete replacement. So this is the concrete now that leads up to the building. It will include the college seal. So this is currently white, but the blue pieces that are included in the seal will be painted by one of our students in the next couple of weeks. So she's going to come over and do the painting, and it'll look like just like a regular college seal, and then we'll seal it up really nicely. This is the fountain, which that's the current condition of it. It's being completely renovated. New tile, new liner, everything will match the concrete, which will encompass the fountain as well. We did some envelope repairs. We added EV stations both here and at the ATC. We did building envelope on three different buildings, which is sealing the building, the windows, cracks, caulking. We renovated the greenhouse and built a new greenhouse. This will be for seagrass growth, and then they'll have some fishes in there too. So it's a project with the biology department. This building, the front had to be completely torn off. Had some severe water damage from the initial construction, and then this was the final result. We did tennis courts and pickleball. The parking lots were repaired. Things that we're working on this year. So this is the Qantas Honors Health Science. This is the east facade that you'll see from the, this is the side from the residence hall. This is the other side that you'll see. So this is the Qantas area is here. And then everything else is sim labs and nursing. So this is Qantas, EMS, offices. These are the new sim labs that are on the first floor, along with their laundry debriefing rooms and mechanical areas. This is the current condition of the building, as Dr. LaBosso had earlier. This is due to be done in August, so we're shooting for an August opening for this building. So we have a little ways to go. Current location of our airframe and power facility is Site 61, which is this one. I think this may or may not move depending on the number of acres that we're going to need. It's directly adjacent to the new French aircraft facility. The only thing that separates us currently is this runway, so that's the current plan. Delay emergency services, so Dr. Long talked about this. This is the law enforcement and building number 8. This is their combat training room. They'll have a classroom, some locker rooms for changing to go into combat training. And then this is where EMS and the other emergency services, building 1, will locate. Relocate. This is the current library that she spoke of in the writing center, and then these outside rooms are currently adult education. So these become laboratories for the EMS, and then there's a computer lab and some lecture halls as well.
This is the $3 million that we're still missing from the state on this one.
Right. She also mentioned moving the library and combining the student services. This is what this looks like. This will become the new library in building 6B. This is currently a classroom, computer room, and this is as well. So we're splitting this in half, creating a library space. We're splitting off this and reconfiguring the layout of the room, and then changing the furniture so they're able to get the FTEs in the space that they need. Gail Limron Athletic Center that Dr. LaBosso spoke of. So this is the first floor. The gym actually ends somewhere in this area now. So this is, we're moving out these offices, and this will become the kind of the athletic training area. When they're not using it, the doors on each end will open and the general public can use it as well. Second floor, we're adding the soccer locker rooms. The offices downstairs are moving upstairs. These two locker rooms are currently there. And then another thing that we're adding is a video room for the teams to be able to come in and preview their games or prep for games. Big thing now for a lot of schools, big recruiting tool, but it's also great for the athletes to see, you know, what they did and did wrong and right. This is a multi-purpose field across the street. It's actually now two multi-purpose fields. One runs north and south, runs east and west. This one is a full-size soccer field. We're also renovating this building. It's currently a storage room, so it'll become storage, but it'll also become the golf simulator room. So the golf is going to get a simulation built out in this room, as well as a small putting green, but a small 2,000 square feet now. So pretty good size. We'll add a restroom for the facilities there, and then extend the parking. This is the current state, so we don't have a GMP for this one yet, but we're pre-clearing the field ourselves so that when the contractor comes in, it's ready to go. This is the freshens build-out that we're doing in the Gil Inland Student Center. So it will encompass these two study rooms as well as this office. And then there's a back vending hallway here, so this entire area will become the new Freshens fresh food service area that will be added to the Gil Limron Student Center. Sorry.
It'll be an option for the students to have meal plans, so they'll have, you know, a healthy option. Not that the other is healthy, but this is fresh kitchen kind of thing. So, it'll be a nice option.
We're progressing with the Residence Hall 2 site work. So that's the fenced-in area that you'll see in the back of campus. Currently we have the secondary electrical run. This is where FPNL will drop their transformer as soon as we get a contract with them. And then we're ready to do stormwater. That's what these the large pipes are in the back. So once we get to the funding goal, we'll be ready to start building right away. This is the Manatee Fountain that Dr. Lovasso spoke of. This is a conceptual drawing. It's going to go at the back of building 100, between kind of catacorny to building 100, but right behind the student center. It'll be a wet fountain with manatee, some landscaping, and some student seating for study, or you know, downtime, whatever they want to use it for. This is another view of the charter school that we spoke of earlier. Private school, not charter school, I'm sorry. This is what it looks like from the campus. Another view. This is the first floor. They're going to have an outdoor, a turf playing field, as well as an outdoor recreational area. And they're going to have a gymnasium addition to their classrooms, cafeteria, and meeting spaces. And then this is the second floor of the same building. And we talked about this already. This is a Discovery Innovation location that we've been discussing with UCF. Originally, this is where the building was proposed to go, but there's talk now that it may go on the front. So these are the two areas that we've given them as potential locations. And I think that will come back to the board for final approval.
So the parking garage will go where that, behind that building, if they want the front to make up for the lost parking.
That's it.
All right. Lunch is served.